Back in 2008, a word was tossed around which at first seemed to suggest a promise, and it got many people to look to positive outcomes following a disastrous history. There were good intentions, but to not much avail, and certainly not a repeat of the same disasters, if not worse, from what happened previously. This word had sparked interest among the many, and it became very popular throughout the whole world. And it was an encouraging word, which would hope to bring about a resolution. However, that would not be the case, as we have all seen in light of what has been going on in this country since 2008, but not just in this country, but also around the whole world. That word that we heard was the word change, which is also the title of my message. Change. Does everybody remember now that word? Can you recall back to that presidential election? Unfortunately, as with most elections, there are many promises thrown out there to ensure a vote, but many things never go according to plan. And it results in a broken promise, or many broken promises, further resulting in anger amongst the people, who then point the finger on the very person that they voted for. It happens all the time, and this proves the ignorance among so many out there that don't realize what they are voting for, which is a very good reason why we in the church do not vote. Lately, the world is about change. And there has been a lot of change going on since 2008. Changing the environment for the better. Change the way we live for the better. Now, we are experiencing a major drought, especially in this state, while other states back east are not. They're going through unprecedented floods. But here in California, that's always been a concern lately. But there looking for drastic measures to conserve water and now being put into, which are now being put into place. Fines, how many times you can water your lawn during the week. They complain about don't water your lawn, but then at the same time they say make sure your lawn looks good. So, but that's what we are going through now, and things are being brought up more and more of how we can conserve water. There's also change about minimum wage. So focusing on this state, changing minimum wage to whatever it is now, what is it now? Ten something. Well, anyway, let's just say they want to change it to $15 an hour by 2017. Now, there are very many negative implications, which could be a concern, as it will affect many small businesses due to price hikes, etc. How can they pay their employees that much, which means they have to raise the prices of what they sell, and so on and so forth. But this could very well happen too. I'm not going to go into more detail about that, but we'll see what happens. Society is also changing, as we see now more acceptance between the transgenders and the gays, more and more acceptable to the public. Leaning towards an acceptable way of life. Look at the recent update. Plenty of articles in there referring to that. And we're going to hear about that more and more. The pursuit of mandatory vaccinations in all schools following the recent measles outbreak that affected around 100 people out of the 320 million people that live here in the United States. But those 100 people caused a change now that they want to do this mandatory vaccination. And people are outraged over this with people that don't want to do that. There are higher security protocols at airports, at events, due to the recent bombings and such. Police force is also in a lot of question right now. when it comes to the use of body cams. They want to start implicating that through all the police forces. Because nobody is safe anymore. Yet everybody has a camera and a cell phone, ready to video record the next controversy. Trust in this country and around the world is increasingly fading away, and God is being left out of the picture more and more. Yes, this country is indeed changing. There's no doubt about that. Now, we know things are changing, and we know where this world is heading. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did God destroy that city? Don't you think he's going to do that again? Does the Bible talk about that? It is prophesied to happen again. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I mean, 1 Timothy. Good, it gives you more time to get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now this is referring here to the last days. But if we read through this list, that's what's going on right now. So we are in these last days, or at least the last days are approaching. We are very close. And we see all of this happening now, just like it happened back in Sodom and Gomorrah, right before God destroyed it. We still live in this world and this society, and we will still be surrounded by its ungodly ways. But we are not to live like that. We are not to be a part of it. But we are to do what it says in verse 10 through 15 of the same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me, I'm talking about Paul here, what we can put ourselves into in his situation, right? Which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It is expected. If we live God's way of life, which is not the way the world is living, expect to get persecution. But evil men, verse 13, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This book here, this is the truth and the trust that we must follow, the trust in God to help us. It is no easy task, but remember, with God, all things are possible. This wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't true. All is everything. Everything is possible. There's nothing impossible to God, but you have to believe it. Has anybody experienced change in their life? It doesn't matter what it is. Yes, we have all experienced change in our life. There's different kinds of change that we have gone through. But we have also experienced similar changes that we can all relate to. Now, personally, I am experiencing change, as my current job is about to expire next week. It came fast when I first announced this, but it is here all of a sudden. So it ends next week. But I have already begun my new career change in the past couple of months, which I believe is truly a change for the better, as I get to help people in ways that didn't seem possible to them, educating them by providing knowledge, strategies, solutions, so they can become financially secure. Now you know what I'm getting myself into. But I have learned a lot in the past couple of months. And now I get to show that to others, what I have learned. That's it. We do the same in the church, don't we? The Bible provides us with knowledge and solutions so we can become spiritually secure. And we also get to teach that to others. But not everybody listens and takes the advice. However, maybe down the road they will. Which is why we need to keep going. Keep on teaching, proclaiming the truth, revealing to all that there is something better. We need to be aware of what the world is trying to change things. The world always wants to try to change things. Have we noticed that? Especially tapping into religious beliefs lately, ignoring what is considered unconstitutional by making it more acceptable to the public. I am referring to those things that God prohibits. Some of what I already mentioned before. What you read in this current update, what you read in last week's update, what you're going to read in next week's update. What does God have to say about all those things? 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, if it's not of the Father, then what is it? It's obviously, it's Satan's doing. Satan is the ruler of this world. And the world is passing away, verse 17, and the lust of it. It's not going to last forever. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That is what's going to last forever. All these things in the world is temporary, but we still live in the world. We are still surrounded by it. We are still surrounded by everything that's going on. But we do have choices that we have to make. And hopefully we're making the right ones. We have been given a special understanding from God to live a life which He has intended for us to help us overcome sin around the world. And we can do it through His Holy Spirit. For we are the first fruits. As I mentioned the last time I spoke. We are set apart from the rest of the world and have been given this gift now, before everyone gets to experience it in due time. I'm referring to a promise that has been followed through, that we have experienced and still experience today, which has to do with our spiritual change that we experienced at the time of our baptism. And this was one of the most important decisions that we have made in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. We were all once the old man. What does it mean to be the new man? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Because, how do they walk? They walk in vanity. They walk because of ignorance and hardness. They do not know any better. That's why we are here, to help them. That's why the Bible is written, for that very reason. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The world walks a different path. They walk a path of what they do not know. They follow the masses. They will follow the masses right off the cliff. But we are the few that have been given that, the wisdom and the knowledge and the spirit through baptism. Which is why we can help people in this way, why we can preach the gospel and proclaim the truth, the good news. This is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. Because we have God's Holy Spirit within us, we have the knowledge to make right decisions and not be blindsided by what the world has to offer when politicians say things that people want to hear instead of the truth. The only truth that we know is what we are reading today. However, we can easily get sidetracked and lose focus when we don't allow His Spirit to work within us by studying, by praying, and meditating on His words. Fellowship with like minds. Observing His commandments. Observing His holy days. Observing the Sabbath like we're doing today. While the rest of the world has no clue yet on what this day actually pictures. By having a positive attitude, we also have faith that God continues to bless us when the times get tough. And they do get tough. And instead of letting our frustrations get too out of control, we produce a spiritual change by prayer and faith. And that is a powerful weapon. And by applying that, our worrying diminishes, since we know what God promises us, what we have heard, what we read about. And we know what the gift that He has given to us is, which is the Holy Spirit. That is our strength. So when the world continues to compromise and be given up to change, let us do what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.